Lives podcast, where your voice is more than a melody.
Join us in planting seeds in a growing field.
Stacey Jowett has been practicing in the field of recreation therapy for over 20 years, primarily serving individuals living with mental health issues and living with dementia. Recently, to add to her therapeutic recreation education, she received her BA with a concentration in gerontology and has also begun taking courses in end-of-life care.
Interprofessional collaboration has always been an important aspect of Stacey's service delivery, as she believes that when professionals from different backgrounds support individuals together, greater outcomes can be achieved, which can be empowering and powerful for the service recipient.
We are so grateful for the interdisciplinary relationship we have built with Stacey over the past few years, because as she mentions in this episode, we can't do it all. And welcome to another episode of Able Voice Podcast with Haley and Kim.
Hello!
Today we are joined by the fabulous and wonderful Stacey Jowett.
Hi, lady.
It's so great to have you on. I think we're going to get into a little bit about how we know each other, how we all know each other as we get into this conversation. But I guess let's start right at the beginning. How were you introduced to music therapy, and what's your connection now?
I was introduced to music therapy about 8 or 9 years ago, and it was through a volunteer I had who was connected to her Queens, and she brought the idea and the concept of music therapy to me, a practice I was aware of but didn't really understand. I had always, in rec therapy, I've always used music as a therapy modality, but I had never had the opportunity to work with a music therapist. At the time, this individual was just beginning her career path and educational studies in music therapy, and so she introduced the concept. When she went to school, she and I kept in touch. So when she was back here for the summer, she volunteered and just increased what she was able to do. She brought her learning with us onto Seniors Mental Health, which was wonderful. And when she decided to start her business, I was lucky enough to be able to raise the funds to support her and have her come in at the beginning once a month. And then we increased it to where it is now on the unit as weekly groups and connecting families with two lovely little groups. Sessions, because we were able to speak so highly of what music therapy was, how it was reaching the individuals that we serve who are living with dementia, and they could see the benefits of how their loved ones were free. So it was a really great opportunity. Now, like present day, I am listening to your podcast on a regular basis, but that's my connection at this present moment. Because I'm no longer working on a seniors mental health team that I love so much, but I'm hoping to bring it onto the adult mental health unit. I've only been here a month now, so I'm still finding my way, but I can see I've got some young adults who love to rap, so it'd be great to see how we could do some, you know, songwriting. So I think like that would be a wonderful use of what you do, and you know how
individuals with cognitive, various cognitive impairments and intellectual disabilities. And so, you know, how music therapy touched each one of them. So that's what I think is. Amazing. One yay for funding for champions who go out and seek and fight for funding for music therapy programs. I know I've said this to you personally before, but I'm so appreciative of our relationship and for all your support while I was working there on the unit as well. And Kim, we're always looking for champions in our field and outside of our field. Yeah.
Yeah, I love working together because I know the clients personally on a daily basis, and you come in and, well, I can give you basic information. You are the expertise when it comes to music and, you know, how you want certain songs and themes to drive, but I'm able to do it to grab the person in a moment because I know this is special to them, but I know their history, and I can help, you know, get hands-on physically manipulating in a different way when you're running the group to help support and enhance the group experience. Mm-hmm. So that way everybody's physically connected, emotionally connected, spiritually connected a little bit more, so everybody's able to get those goals that usually music therapists have, but as a recreation therapist, I'm able to have my own set of goals for that group as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's really amazing that we're able to collaborate in this way, and I'll echo what Haley said before. I'm very grateful to have had that opportunity to work with you in that collaborative relationship, because when we're able to increase those connections, we're only increasing the care that we're able to provide our residents. So that's really beautiful. And I think personally that rec therapy and music therapy are a very natural connection. But why do you think that rec therapy and music therapy work so well together?
I think because we use music in our leisure. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times if you're, you know, in your spare time, do you and friends go to a concert because, you know, that's what you choose to do? Or in, as a child, through your childhood, or even, I know some people in retirement, they want to learn an instrument because mm-hmm. they want to feel something or connect to a different way. And I mean, cognitively, there's so many studies out too that say that music helps enhance, you know, memory and learning and that sort of thing. So I think through song and through physical activity, whether it be using a shaker, we're able to provide somebody enjoyment and enhance their quality of life, open their world to new leisure opportunities. And sometimes those leisure opportunities are, you know, okay, let's learn to take the bus to get to your music lesson, to, you know, go to the music lending library, those sorts of things. So we then have a budget for these. So all of these things went really well to rec therapy, but if we're looking at, you know, long-term care facility, it can also be engaging in those reminiscing moments rather than always doing the same type of reminiscing in some other types of, I've used music as a therapeutic modality, not obviously as music therapy, but it's like, how does music affect your emotion? Mm-hmm. And so I think when we're in and we're working together with music therapists, I think that that is probably one of the best compliments because we're able to tap into so many different elements.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. It's always lovely, and we're not always as fortunate to have co-therapist with us in session. And so whenever that happens, I'm like, this is, well, whenever we have a great rec therapist or a programming staff that's with us, it's just such a wonderful thing to have another person that is, you're feeding energy off of that person, and they have a little bit more insight about each resident to give you. And there's just so many ways that this beautifully works together in terms of a working relationship for our clients and our residents to provide that enhanced care. It's so wonderful because we don't get to do that too often. And mm-hmm. you know, I wish that could
be
the
perfect
case.
World.
Yeah. It would be ideal for sure. But I know that when we were working together, you had lots of students that would come in and out of therapy sessions, and you have taught so many rec therapists and been a mentor to even some of the physios and speech therapists that are coming in and training on that unit. And so I know that there's one thing that you always tell them must happen when they are in a music therapy session.
Yes, there's no observation. You have to actively engage.
Mm-hmm.
In order to motivate and encourage those that we serve, they have to see that you are enjoying yourself as well.
Yes.
So even when we walk in the room and we don't know the song or we're having an awful day, they don't know that and they're not supposed to know that. So mm-hmm. that's our opportunity to, you know, that's why we have those really chairs that we bring in so we can move around, you know, help clap. We make our movements big so they can see whether their visual field is small or large. They see that we're animated and we're engaged, which in turn encourages them to stay animated. And even if they're thinking, what's this person doing? They're acting like a clown. They're engaged. And that's so important.
Exactly. Like, how revolutionary. Be actively engaged. Be an active participant. It's something so simple, but it means so much in how effective therapy can be in any sense, no matter what the form of therapy is. If you're an active participant of that therapy, we're always talking about these kinds of relationships are not one way. It's very much two way. You're giving just as much as, you know, what you want to receive. And no matter what that looks like or what hat you're wearing, whether it's speech therapist or a physiotherapist, you have to give that energy to whoever you're working with.
Yeah, absolutely. We often have in these groups too, it's an opportunity for us to be able to, like you said, give that opportunity for people to learn what music therapy is, to engage in music therapy, to be actively engaged. And sometimes we have other staff or family members who want to be engaged in the sessions as well. I know that Stacy, you and I had an opportunity to collaborate a little bit there recently in some of our telehealth sessions, with being able to have some family members attend, which can be a very special experience for sure. And sometimes we have other staff in the building who pop in and out of meeting or of sessions, or lots happening in a building. We have lots of people. And so obviously you are a really great ally in those groups for us. It's great that you can share some of that with the students and people that come in. But I'm wondering, what about regarding family members or POAs or others that might be coming into sessions? Are there any boundaries that you tend to set prior to them joining a session, or how can someone be a good ally within that music therapy session?
So I think there's two answers to this question, because it depends on the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
For when we had that opportunity for that family member to engage, it had to be agreed upon by everyone first, just to make sure everyone felt safe and that the experience was going to be beneficial. Because I think sometimes what we see as therapists, the family member isn't trained to see those small little changes, and so that can be hard for them to understand what are they getting out of this. They have their eyes closed. I'm not sure if they're even alert. And through telehealth, it's very hard as well, because they can't hear if, you know, when I'm sitting beside the person, they might not be able to hear some of the responses. So I think that's one thing too, is to allow them to know. So it's that follow-up after, if they have questions or some of their comments. I think it's very important, especially during the COVID times that we were in, and that individual that we had, for example, wasn't able to see their loved one.
Yeah.
I think in those examples, so if we're into facilities, whatnot, I think that's a rich opportunity for active engagement and connection with a loved one when they're not able to have that physical connection,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes a meaningful connection through FaceTime calls, that sort of thing. Sometimes that's nice, but it's not always ideal to see their loved one in an active moment where they are receiving an active therapy and something that is meaningful and pleasurable for them, where they are getting benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's wonderful to have family there, and we even had an opportunity where a grandchild was able to be engaged with their grandmother, which was so wonderful. And I mean, to have that, the two of them sing a song together that, you know, was something that they had done together before numerous times. That was such a powerful moment for, you know, the woman's son and husband to see. I mean, I know for me, I was blown away, and that is something I will always remember as one of those moments that is a highlight during the COVID times, for sure. But it's just that opportunity to be able to bring that connection. So that's wonderful. In the group setting, having a family member physically present, I have had many family members present, and that used to be fine because, and I think maybe it was naive of me at the time because they were always interacting with each other and whatnot. I think it was naive of me at the time to not set more clear guidelines because we had some people not understanding how other people interact in other people's moments. And in the group setting, we no longer allow family members because therapy is, we've come to recognize, especially music therapy, it's a time when people will reminisce and bring up memories that are sometimes joyous, mm-hmm. sometimes sad, sometimes traumatic. And we find that it is incredibly important to allow the individual to be in that moment with whatever feeling that has been brought up through the song, through the emotion that they were engaged in, and to support them through that, because when people have memories or moments of clarity, it's incredibly powerful and it's incredibly important that you're there to support them. So individual sessions, family members, as long as they realize that the therapy is for their loved one and they are there to support, 100%, I think it's fantastic.
That's really, really wonderful to hear. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's so important for us to be purposeful about that. And you touched on people, especially in the group setting, if someone delves into a more traumatic or challenging reminiscing moment or something that they've experienced in life, sometimes if we have loved ones or family there, the initial instinct is to redirect or to not go too deep in that moment because we want our loved ones to be happy and to not be feeling that pain. And we sometimes forget that, yes, it's therapy. So we want to be able to sit in that moment, and we can't always just fix or make someone feel happy right away. But there's something really special and really powerful about being able to go there and for you guys to be creating that space, that safe space, that brave space there.
Yeah. And you brought up something really special that I hadn't thought about before this, but we've actually done quite a bit of telehealth together over this COVID period. And in some of my other facilities, the rec therapy teams haven't really been involved in physical sessions other than a group session. And that's like every once in a while. So they haven't been physically involved and they haven't really been able to see what goes on in therapy. And now in this era of what is COVID-19, they're having to support, or they're willing to support those one-to-one sessions. And I'm wondering, just for people out there who might be listening, who might wear a rec therapy hat or some other form of assistive therapy hat, what skills do you think rec therapists already have, or what skills do you think are necessary in order to be a great support to your music therapist online?
It's incredibly important when running any session that you know the person that you're bringing in the session. And it's also important that you're aware of the session that will happen. I mean, how many times have you and I talked about this session is going to be themed around a holiday or a veterans, like wartime, those things that are triggering. Mm-hmm. So you and I have talked about that in order to plan who should be or who should not be at that group. And I know a lot more of that information than maybe you would because of my history with the client. I also know who's having a good day, you know, emotionally or not. And maybe it could be, and it's fine, if they're not having a good day emotionally, they're they're sad for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's okay to bring them in because that will allow them to feel that emotion all the way through, or it will change the emotion. It just depends on what is appropriate for them at the time. I think it's important that the rec therapist allows the person to go with the emotion that they're feeling, to validate, not to personalize it themselves, you know, and not to, oh, it's okay, don't worry about that. Because I think sometimes it's you know, if somebody's really distressed, so somebody would say living with dementia, is really distressed, and, oh, my mother in the middle of, you know, a therapy song, because this is like a song that you've done in you know, your session, and it's a song that their mother sang to them, or, you know, they used to sing with their child, but they flipped it and realized, oh, that I was the mother, but I'm thinking about my mother. Maybe you just go with it and say, oh, you know, what about this song reminds you of your mother? So it's allowing that moment to happen, allow them to think about their mother or being a mother, and then just let that naturally ride out. Give them that few minutes, that space, rather than be dismissive or, oh, you're too emotional right now, or she's labile, or, you know, he's being aggressive because he's shaking the shaker too much, or he's throwing the shaker. Like, rather than labeling the behavior, see what is it about this that's going on. Give them that moment, have some empathetic listening, and validate them in their moment, in their feelings, and feel, but to physically be present, sometimes I find, you know, touching, placing my hand on a knee, rather than any upper body, hands, that sort of thing, that's like the fight or flight, maybe it's closer to the organs, they're going to want to maybe strike out, whereas with your knee, it's less threatening, and they can just like have that eye contact. And see that you're there and have that nice, you know, match the smile, or just have that look in you, that eye contact. I think that's really important as any type of therapist.
Yeah. Every session brings with it a new set of behaviors, and you never know what you're gonna get. Like you said, you as a rec therapist will know a little bit more about what's happened in that person's day before we show up. And so that's very useful. But even then, we don't really know how to expect or anticipate how somebody's going to react to another person in the group or a specific song that we play. Or, it's just so up in the air sometimes. And having that additional support and being able to communicate or even non-verbally communicate with the person who's supporting you, I think that is really important as well. Sometimes we just have like a look at each other and know what that means across the room, or even across the computer sometimes. It's great to have that additional support and insight into some of the clients that we have.
Yeah, and I mean, that comes with that connection too, right? The more that we are able to work consistently with the same support staff within a group, the more that we kind of get to understand what our goals are. I mean, in most circumstances at least, but the more that we get to have those conversations about those shared goals and how we support the people and how we can have those like glances of looks to be able to keep the session moving. Because yeah, sometimes there are behaviors, sometimes there are strong reactions, but especially in a group session, you might have one person who, Stacey, like you said, is reacting and thinking about their mom or being a mother, and that might be a positive or a challenging reaction. And then you might have another group member who doesn't have a strong identity with motherhood or has a negative reaction there that might be reacting a bit differently or more subtly. And so there's all these different things happening. So being able to collaborate there and have someone who's able to support someone who needs a little bit more support in a session while being able to keep the general flow of the session going is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many times have there been people wandering around the room and you just need like an additional set of eyes to just make sure that they're okay and they're safe in the area. It just is really useful because we'd like to say we can do it all, but we can't. We cannot. And so it's really, really lovely to have that additional support. And speaking of support, I'm kind of going to go off on one more tangent because there are so many wonderful things about our relationship. And you recently were doing some studying on end-of-life care.
I did my end-of-life doula certificate.
It's such special work. It's such meaningful work. And, you know, palliative care sessions are just, they take so much of your energy, but they're so rewarding at the same time. And even in that setting, I feel like there's such a beautiful connection that can be had in rec therapy and music therapy, because I know that when somebody is passing away, your auditory senses are some of the last to go. And so sometimes that's the only way that you can still connect with your loved one. And it's such a meaningful thing. And I know that you know that, and we've had lots of talks about how that works so well together.
We were able to do a party session together. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, that was so powerful. And it was such a blessing for the family. They all knew how wonderful that was. And I remember just being there with the family that we had built such a great relationship with. And then you and I walking out together at the end of the session and just debriefing together, which was so important. But just how emotional it was and how powerful. And again, one of those memories that I will always hold so dear in my heart, for sure. Mm-hmm. That patient's family was wonderful. But that shared experience that you and I were able to have was just, I think that really did solidify that I wanted to learn more about end-of-life care and how wonderful it is.
Yeah.
That's so special.
It really is. It all just comes down to relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, the relationships that we build in therapy with our clients, the relationships that we're in turn building with their family members and to their history and their life journey. And then also when we're able to make relationships with in interdisciplinary fields with rec therapists, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, I'm beyond grateful. I think that interprofessional collaboration is such a key for all of our professions. It really is, because as you said, like, we can't do it all. And when we enter a session, we look at things differently. So we support the client or the resident or the patient differently. Mm-hmm. And so they, as you both said, they get better care, they get a more well-rounded care, and in the end, I think that the ultimate goal is to improve the quality of their life and the quality of that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is the blessing that we're able to be in that moment for the patient.
100% agree.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Able Voice Podcast.
If you want to find more content like this, please subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media at MTA Haley
and at MTA.Kimberly to get notified when new episodes become available.